I started my sermon thoughts for today with a title, Out on a Limb, and this short paragraph. Zacchaeus climbs up a tree to see Jesus and to catch his eye. Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house and to his table. Both go out on a limb. Zacchaeus in making a promise of restoration, and Jesus in trusting Zacchaeus' integrity. Will the risk pay off? That expression, going out on a limb, does imply some level of risk. Of course, the farther out on the limb you go, the greater the risk that the limb will break, or you will fall off, or the limb will break and you will fall off. Going out on a limb, especially in the literal sense, can be quite dangerous. But there's also something quite invigorating about getting far enough up and far enough out to get the better view, the new perspective. There is something delightful about being up in the air when everyone else is down on the ground. I remember in my childhood front yard, there was a great climbing tree. It was a maple tree, and it had those nice, broad, level limbs, the lowest of which you could reach up and grab to pull yourself up just by standing on your tiptoes. The limbs were steady and strong. Once you were up in the tree, if you stayed close enough to the trunk of the tree, you could even safely jump up and down on that first limb, or you could sit two people side by side. I remember one time the Irish setter from up the street came running into our yard, and for some reason I was afraid of that dog. It seemed to me that it was fast and aggressive and really red. Anyway, I saw the dog coming and I ran for the tree and pulled myself up. I can still picture myself up in the tree on that strong, safe branch, watching the dog running around in the yard in crazy circles before it finally left. We had another tree in our yard, a tall pin oak. Its branches were smaller in diameter and closer together. It was harder to climb, although we tried. If you could squeeze between the close together branches, you could get a little bit up into the tree. But I remember how the smaller branches would break under your feet. The tree was tempting, though, because it was much taller than the maple. If only we could have gotten to the top. The days of climbing trees are long past for me and probably for many of you as well, but last spring I had a little tickle of memory of what it feels like to be high up in a tree when we were in Florida on spring break. And Lena and Lois and I went to a state park just inland from the Gulf Coast where we were staying. The place we went to is called Mayaca River State Park. It's about 37,000 acres in size, which makes it among the largest of state parks in Florida. It's a great place to see all kinds of tropical birds as well as alligators, which we saw. But the thing that makes it particularly cool is the canopy walkway. There's a suspension bridge connecting two towers, one of which, when you climb up to the top of it, puts you above the tree canopy. I think I have a picture of that tower. There it is. So from up there, having climbed up through the trees, you're looking down on the tops of the trees. And I have another picture I want to show you. It's really breathtaking. You can see everything from above. So Zacchaeus, he's short. He's not seeing anything from above. He can't see over the shoulders and heads of those around them. In a crowd, he's always at a disadvantage. He's also not a person that anyone would want to make space for. No one's going to boost him up for a better view, much less move out of his sight line. Why would they, after all? He's a tax collector. He takes their money, the taxes he collects for Rome, and then his own cut on top of that. If he's not there beside you to collect the tax, if you don't have to deal with him, then he's the kind of person you turn your back on. But according to the story, Jesus is coming through Jericho, where Zacchaeus is located, and Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, wants to get a good look at him. It's his one opportunity, so he climbs a tree. He's a grown man, mind you. He's not a kid. It's not the maple tree in his front yard. It's a sycamore tree, a kind of fig tree, actually, that's growing along the street. It must be a good tree for climbing, if climbing trees is what you want to do. So up the tree he goes. I was talking to a friend this past week about Zacchaeus and this story, and my friend said that Zacchaeus must have looked kind of foolish climbing that tree, this grown man. I agreed, he probably did look foolish. But then as I thought about it, I thought maybe Zacchaeus didn't care so much about how he looked. Rather, he wanted what he wanted, and what he wanted was a good look at Jesus. So he figured out a clever way to get it, to get that perspective on Jesus. He may have looked foolish, but actually he was clever, right? Anyway, Jesus comes by, looks up, sees Zacchaeus, and calls to him, "Come down, let's go to your house. You can make lunch for me, and I'll stay for a while." It's kind of weird. Not only that Jesus notices him up there, well, maybe that's not so weird, actually. What's not to notice when a grown man is up in a tree? But it's kind of strange that Jesus calls to him and actually engages him. "Let's go to your house for lunch, for a visit, little man." Zacchaeus, it seems, is happy about it. Why wouldn't he be? Nobody pays attention to him unless he's collecting the tax bill. And here is Jesus asking to spend time together. But the rest of the people, the crowd that observes this interaction, they're not so happy. They grumble, the scripture story reports, about Jesus going to be with this sinner, a guest in his house, no less. Now, we have to assume that the grumbling reaches Zacchaeus's ears, but we don't know whether it directly affects what happens next. Nevertheless, what comes next is Zacchaeus's pledge. "Half my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone, I will pay back four times as much." His declaration raises some interesting questions. Is it a true change of heart? Is he just trying to impress Jesus? Can he be trusted to follow through? Zacchaeus is a bit out on a limb making those kinds of promises, in public no less, in front of those whose money he's been taking, no less. But Jesus is also out on a limb, reaching out to Zacchaeus, believing what Zacchaeus says, proclaiming salvation for him, making the move to bring him back into the fold. How does the story turn out? We don't really know. Because in Luke's gospel, the story that follows this story is another of Jesus' parables, the parable of the pounds, that is Luke's version of the parable of the talents. And then immediately after that comes the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So no more information on Zacchaeus and whether he does or doesn't do or continue to do what he promises to do. So we don't know what happens out there on the end of the limb, so to speak. Does it break? Does everyone fall off? Does Zacchaeus change his life? Does he make things right? Does Jesus back the right horse? Is this promise of salvation well considered? Is the lost tax collector brought back into the community? We really don't know. But what we do know is that the main characters in the story are making moves in the right direction. Zacchaeus climbs the tree. Jesus calls him down. Zacchaeus promises to make things right. Jesus promises him salvation. They go out on a limb. They go out on a limb together. And out there on the limb, the view, the new perspective, is intriguing. Maybe even amazing. Will it all work out? We don't know. But this much seems clear. You have to go out there on a limb to even have a chance of finding out if it will all work out. You have to take the chance that something might actually change, and that the change, while it might be scary and surprising, at least being out there on the limb might be scary and surprising, the change you can see from there might also be real and good. By going out on a limb, you take a chance that something might be restored. Someone might be saved. Like many in the Church of the Brethren, I've been waiting to hear something about where the compelling vision process stands at this point, the process that we worked on last summer at annual conference concerning how to shape a shared vision for the Church of the Brethren in these divided times. Recently, a report was issued, not a conclusion, but a kind of process report. The report included a number of things: a sketch of the process so far, a review of the questions asked at annual conference, and in the case of some of those questions, a list of responses given by the roundtable groups. One of the questions we tackled at annual conference, one of the questions I found most interesting, was this one: what is the next big idea to address one or more of the world's needs? What is the next big idea to address one or more of the world's needs? The table groups entered their answers into a data collecting system. So now, with the report that's been issued, we can look at all the answers in one document, which I did. And guess what? There were over 900 big ideas generated by the table groups. Okay, honestly, there were not over 900 big ideas. There were over 900 answers to the big ideas question. Offer counseling and educational programs. Get politically involved. Call your local representatives. Accept furniture donations for those in need. We're all on the list. And those are not big ideas. Those are good ideas. Probably things that individual congregations are already doing, but those are not big ideas. So among the 900 and some answers, there were a lot of those kinds of good ideas, regular ideas, and there were some not so great ideas. But honestly, the answers given were mostly ideas that involved staying on the ground, not going out on a limb. Not really ideas that involved taking a big chance on justice or restoration or reintegration into the community or salvation for the excluded, the left behind. But in and among those many ideas were some interesting, bigger ideas. There were some go-out-on-a-limb ideas. And to me, the go-out-on-a-limb ideas are the ones that have some risk embedded in them, but that also suggest some new perspectives. Maybe ideas that have us looking over the top of the tree canopy once in a while. The big ideas are the ones that seem intriguing, hopeful, even if they seem a little crazy at the same time. Something akin to a tax collector giving half his income to the poor or giving four times as much to anyone he's defrauded. Big ideas are the ones that have a chance of bringing, as Jesus said, salvation to the house of someone like Zacchaeus. They are order-changing ideas, treetop ideas. So you want to hear a few from the list? A few big ideas, go out on the limb ideas. Related to immigration, build hostels, you know, like youth hostels that you sometimes might visit in a foreign country when you're traveling. Build hostels on the Mexican side of the border to house migrants stuck on that side of the border. Purchase one of the southern border private detention centers to run it more ethically and compassionately. Organize a system to meet refugees as they come across the border and distribute them to people willing to take them into their homes and churches, kind of like when the Vietnamese came to the U.S. in the early 70s and churches took them in. Get behind children's disaster ministries to model how to care for immigrant children in detention centers and other facilities at the Mexican border. Help with supplies and finances. Flood that area with caring people. One group simply said, "What would it take for us to get all the kids out of the immigration detention centers? Let's do that." Related to hunger, buy farms, hire people to work on them, distribute food to those in need. Start food trucks with free food, or have food pantries similar to little free libraries where people can come and get whatever they need. Open Church of the Brethren grocery stores or co-ops in places that are food deserts, providing fresh produce, fresh dairy. Every church would have a community garden and cooking classes. Related to housing, build tiny houses on church land for housing, or establish a program that buys properties, builds mini homes, tiny houses, to replace trailers or rundown homes for people. A Brethren construction company building houses for homeless, refugees, and immigrants, with all the employees having been drawn from those categories also. Take vacant parsonages and churches and turn them into homeless shelters. Related to incarceration. Prison system doesn't have reform. When someone gets out, they go back to the same situation. What if the Church of the Brethren set up a program to send inmates to different Church of the Brethren districts so new patterns could be established? Have a denomination-wide mentoring program so our churches can help people transitioning from the prison system back to normal life, something more than just a bus ticket and a set of clothes. Related to resource sharing and redistribution, sell every church property. With district approval, reinvest those funds in the community. Congregations could meet in homes or elsewhere. Support every congregation in the denomination to have at least one house to offer to individuals in the local community for family or individuals in crisis, immigrating, returning to the community from prison, homeless, struggling with mental illness, etc., with the intention that the local church would build relationship and address individuals holistically. And here's one kind of random big idea. Put up a Brethren presidential candidate. I share all of those ideas, some of which are bigger than others, because big ideas are kind of risky. They are up off the ground and sometimes out on a limb, and because they expect transformation, new behaviors, acts of salvation, and commitments to change. Think about it. How is Zacchaeus' promise to give half his possessions to the poor and pay back those he's defrauded fourfold any different than housing migrants across the border, or creating a construction company that hires those it intends to help, or starting a grocery store in a food desert? Big ideas. Zacchaeus is a little guy, but he's no different than us. There's something small about each of us. How do we overcome that? Climbing trees, getting a new view, coming back down to do something about what we've seen? Above the tree canopy, the view is beautiful. We can see broadly, think big thoughts. Back on the ground, there's work to be done. Work to make things right. Work to restore the community. Work to bring salvation. But maybe it starts out on a limb. Maybe it starts up in the tree where we can see. Amen.